You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
2 weeks to the Super Bowl, so the NFL has resorted to videos of coaches and GMs getting out of their cars and getting to work. Give me a break. Israel Gutierrez does that at least twice a week. Also, white smoke from the chimney. Tom Brady retired. Somebody call the Vatican. Call Elle Duncan. Oh, wait, she's here. What up, Elle?
What up?
Elle actually had to clean some baby vomit off of her beautiful outfit before the show.
He's worked.
That's a boss mom move. Come on.
All right. We start, of course, with the big news. Tom Brady retiring officially today. Via an Instagram post, Tom Brady's career so long that neither Instagram nor Facebook existed at the beginning of his career. By the way, George and Izzy, the Miami Heat hadn't even won a title yet when he entered the league. Tom Brady wrote, "This is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I am not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I have loved my NFL career, and now it is time to focus my time and energy on all things that require my attention." He went on to thank his Bucs teammates, Bucs fans, the city of Tampa, Bucs ownership, Bucs GMs, Bucs coaches, Bucs staffers, Daddy Warbucks, Starbucks, Alice Guerrero, his agents, his parents, his kids, and of course, Giselle. No mention, though, however, of that other team he played for. All right, George, how does this all sit with you today?
Well, it was certainly awkward. I don't think there's any question. Yep. Tom Brady is the GOAT, but the execution of this feels a little messy, I would say. And he did later on retweet and then post on Instagram above what the Patriots already put out, discussing, you know, his success with New England and whatnot and their appreciation for him. And he basically gave them thanks, I love you guys too. It's the equivalent of, I don't know, you forget your significant other's birthday and then you realize, oh my God, I gotta rush to get something really quick, and you run to the mall and just get the first thing you see. That's what this feels like with Brady and the Patriots right now. And if I'm New England fans, I kind of get it. Like, I'm a little upset, but I do think it's pretty hilarious. I'm sure he'll eventually do something more thorough for the New England faithful, but at least right now it's pretty funny to kind of watch them lose their
All right, Harry, what about that? We know that Team Brady was upset that the story broke over the weekend. They wanted to break it themselves. Today they did. But that meant they had a lot of time to put this together. They forget to mention the New England Patriots. What about that?
Well, first, let's just start off by saying I think that this is probably the longest Instagram post that any of us have ever actually taken the time to read. I also think that that was intentional, but I think it was intentional because, look, we know that there was some animosity there with Tom Brady and how he left the Patriots. They left the door open, and because of that, that was enough for him to walk out, right? That was an insult. That is the type of competitor that he is. I think that he wanted them to thank him in his retirement, and that's why he left it out. And then he's able to respond to that with grace, with thanks, and things like that. So I think that's probably why he did that.
What about that, Izzy, the way that he handled everything, including that Instagram post?
Well, for his career, just the success that he had at that position, you know he's got to be some level of control freak. And it feels like, you know, he was bummed out because he wasn't in control of this announcement.
He liked control.
Because never once did I say to myself, okay, he's going to retire in 9 pages of notes on Instagram. It just seems like he does more production than that, right? He's got a whole documentary of himself in 10 parts while he's still playing. He puts out hype videos of, you know, before games. He puts out bragging videos after wins. And so this didn't seem, it seemed rushed, but still calculated. He never had an issue with the Patriots fans, I would imagine,
nope.
Right? It's the organization, the people running it, et cetera. So he gives them a, hey, you know, thanks for that. I appreciate it. There has to be more for them. There has to be more of an acknowledgement to his, you know, most of his career. This just seems like him sort of kicking back, a little bit of angry child. It's like, oh, yeah, I wish I could have done it my way, but here, take that, and here, talk about this, because I'm controlling the narrative again. Sorry, but Tony's not here.
Oh,
I can say that word.
No, not with me. Let's go. Elle Duncan, what about, we identify Tom Brady with the Patriots. How does he not identify at least some of himself with that? That's where he spent most of his career. No mention of the Patriots, their fans, until they congratulated him.
Yeah, this whole thing has been so bananas to me. I understand that he was probably angered because after the career that he's had, he probably did want to control how he walked away, how he said goodbye. I imagine there was some big production that was going to be made of it. I'm sure he had plans. Nonetheless, you have to pivot. The second it leaves your mouth that you, the greatest quarterback of all time, the ageless wonder, the guy that literally will not relent, the minute you decide that you're going to retire and you tell other people, you have to be prepared for this to happen. You have to be prepared to get scooped. And just yesterday, we heard him on his podcast. Again, this whole smoke and mirrors of, like, I haven't made my decision and I haven't. And it was all BS. And, like, to me, that was very strange. Now, when this first came out, when we first got, as Harry so astutely said, the longest Instagram post of all time, 30 slides or whatever it was, I actually thought he didn't mention the Patriots, but maybe in very Tom Brady fashion, he's got something planned specifically for them. Something, yeah. Despite the animus, something's planned for them. The fact that he sort of, after the fact, retweeted Bob Kraft and then sort of said, oh, yeah, and thank you to you, tells me that they were actually an afterthought and that, hey, guys, when the reporters tell you and have told you for years about the animosity between the two, take them at their word. There's a reason that there's been all of this talk about how much animus there is between him and the Patriots. I think this is just confirmation, frankly. But I agree that the entire thing was fumbled. I don't know if he's got something planned now, but it just seems like it's really anticlimactic.
All right, as you jump back in here, I apologize for that. That was Tony telling me to do that. I would never
do
that.
No, it's okay. It was that's fine. It was it was fumbled enough for me to believe that maybe he would play again, that maybe because of the timing of it, like everybody says, this is the worst time to make that decision. You're thinking of, you know, all the difficulties that it took to get to that stage instead of all the positive things that come with it. And so I was of the belief that he could spend the weekend thinking this through and saying, hey, I changed my mind and I'm going to play again. So yeah, it's all kind of fumbled. We're all going to sort of see this play out. But in the end, it's really not going to matter, right? Because in the end, you know, 20 years from now, we're not going to talk about how he announced his retirement. We're just going to be talking about the greatest quarterback.
Harry, get back in real quickly.
Despite how this kind of played out, I think today is still important because one thing about Tom Brady's career is that when he first said he wanted to play until, what was it, 50 years old, we kind of thought he was crazy. And then when he went to Tampa and won the Super Bowl and then this year had an MVP-type season, we actually believed that he could do it. So even though he got scooped, we all believed, like, hey, we need to see this come from him in some form or fashion to actually believe it, and we're here today.
George?
Frank, now that I think about it, this could be pointed. If you look at that quote-unquote longest Instagram post that we've ever read ever, the picture he chose was Tom Brady beating the Patriots in a Bucs uniform.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Really quick, everyone, who's the starting quarterback for Tampa Bay next year? Come on, give me a name.
Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask,
Jameis
baby.
Winston.
Gators.
Jameis Winston.
How about Jimmy G? Nobody said that. Everyone gets whacked. There we go. All right, to another Michigan man whose job is under the microscope. Jim Harbaugh is being flown to Minnesota tomorrow to interview with the Vikings for their open head coaching spot. He's also been linked to the Dolphins opening, as we all know. Harry, you know about the year he just had at Michigan. What do you make of this, and what's a better spot for Jim Harbaugh? Minnesota, Miami, or maybe, who knows, maybe it's still Michigan. What about that?
You know, as they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. And to me, it appears that that fire is a desire to be back in the NFL at some point. And I think of all the jobs that he is looking at right now, I think Minnesota is probably going to be a better fit for him. There's talent both in Miami and in Minnesota. I think when it comes down to it, you got to look at the quarterback position. And I think he would probably at this point much rather have to deal with a Kirk Cousins for a year or two than he would with a Tua Tagovailoa, because it appears that there's been reports that that was kind of the hangup with Brian Flores in Miami. So if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I would like to take the Minnesota job if I were him. I think that he could still stay at Michigan, though I think that would be a much weirder proposition just given how he's kind of hung them out to dry at this point. And they've really had his back in a way at Michigan the last few years where they really didn't have to.
Izzy, Minnesota, back to Michigan, or what about Miami? You know that team pretty well.
Well, Michigan pretty much started the fire themselves when they cut his salary, didn't they? I mean, it's called the Big Ten, but there was somehow 11 head coaches that had a higher base salary than Jim Harbaugh last year. So I'm going to go ahead and say that they had his back for some time, but sort of, you know, ran off in the other direction after last year. And so now it's him saying, yeah, I'm definitely out of here. And, you know, if you look at Jim Harbaugh, try to analyze Harbaugh, he feels like a guy who just, you know, he wants to show off the football chops, not necessarily worry about recruiting and all that other stuff. He had this idea of winning a championship with his alma mater, Michigan, didn't really work out. Now he's here to move on. And when he's moving on for good. And that's why I believe Miami's probably the better fit for him, because he's got Stephen Ross, a Michigan man,
yes,
the owner, who's going to give him as long
like
as he needs to succeed. Going to give him as many situations that he could possibly do, especially because, you know, people are saying he didn't give his last coach enough time because of, you know, issues with attitude and not getting along with other people and Brian Flores. And so, yeah, I think Miami and George will probably go on a little more, but I think Miami is definitely the better fit for him.
All right, Al, if he goes to Minnesota, no Ohio State you have to play, and Aaron Rodgers may not be at Green Bay, so why not Minnesota?
Yeah, listen, I think Minnesota is definitely the better job, but let me very quickly talk about what Izzy just said. He was not a high-paid coach last year because he did that. He orchestrated that. He took the pay cut because he was tired of people saying, why are you getting paid all of this money? And there's been zero results on the field, right? Like, that was on him. And then it worked out really well because as soon as he takes the pay cut, he finally beats their biggest rival and he has his team in the playoffs. What this all tells me, though, is that these rumors a month ago after they got mollywopped by Georgia that, like, NFL circles were interested was actually just Harbaugh's camp. Because it has taken a month for someone to want to bring him in, that being the Vikings. And why? Because of the connection that he has with their new general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. So this idea that, like, he was a hot commodity in NFL coaching circles, not exactly, because why did it take this long for anyone to want to bring him in an interview? If you're Michigan, you're super annoyed and perturbed because, to Harry's point, not only have they had their back, he is going, in the biggest sign of disrespect, to have this meeting in person with Minnesota on Wednesday. What is that in the college football landscape? National Signing Day. Ooh. If you're Michigan, you are absolutely mad, because what are your recruits supposed to do? They don't know if their coach is going to be there or if he even wants to be there. He has put them in a terrible position.
But come on, George, if he's getting on a plane, we know he's going to be serious about a job. He's been romanced before by the NFL. What do you make of this whole thing?
Well, look, I don't think he's going back to Michigan. Yeah. I also think, and I've said this before on this show, I think he's just topped out at Michigan. Like, The dirty secret about Michigan is, as a blue blood, they don't actually win a lot of championships. And to get them to the college football playoff, I think, is already a huge accomplishment for them. And if you look at him historically, where he ends up taking a situation that's not great, like Michigan was 46-42 in the years, several years before him. And, you know, now they've won like 60-some-odd games under his tenure, which is way better than what they were. And he did the same thing with Stanford. He did the same thing with the Niners, too. A program and a group, NFL team that was under 500. Nonetheless, here's what I would say. It's about his time horizon, okay? A shorter time horizon, then Minnesota's the right move potentially, because they've got a more ready-made team, although their defense has gone south this past season. But if he's got a longer time horizon, it's the Dolphins, because they have $64 million in cap space, a great young defense, and he has more of a blank palette there. If Tua doesn't work out, he can then just draft a new guy the following year. And he's got that relation with Stephen Ross. That, to me, is the biggest thing involved here. The whole thing is a ruse to me. Stephen Ross was not going to let him go to the NFL and not be the Dolphins coach. He needed other teams.
Oh, no. I gave you 2 points because you didn't mention Heat culture, by the way. Who knows? Maybe Tom Brady. These guys all think maybe he'll retire a Patriot, sign for one day. You guys buy that?
Oh, no.
Buy or sell next.
Yes.
Maybe he'll go coach at Michigan.
Watch it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
All right, it's buy or sell. Caleb Williams to USC in free agent. Transfer portal. Following Lincoln Riley to Southern Cal, as many people assumed, Williams is a 13th student athlete to transfer to USC through the transfer portal since Riley got there in November. Harry, this is your account. Is USC back? Are they a title contender?
I'm buying that USC's back. I'm not going to buy yet that they're a title contender, but this is a big, big day for USC. We knew that they were going to get big-time names like this when Lincoln Riley came along, and he is the hire that they've been trying to make since Pete Carroll left USC. A lot of people joked when Clay Helton was fired that they didn't know what he looked like because he was a lot behind the scenes. Lincoln Riley is out in front. He's the face of this program. They're back.
Izzy, we know what you look like. We've all seen the magazine shoots. What about USC? Are they a title contender right now?
No, not yet. But I do believe that the pressure on Lincoln Riley immediately gets upgraded because he does have this free agency class that automatically makes his team good. And if Caleb Williams gets there, and by the time he leaves, they haven't had, you know, national semifinal success, people are going to be looking at Lincoln Riley and saying, hey, what are you really good for? You got your guys. We didn't win anything. And it's going to be immense pressure right off the bat.
Ms. Duncan, is it L yes or L no? On USC.
Hell no yet, but they are now is relevant, right? Which is really all that we've been looking for from USC and specifically from the Pac-12. Damn, we've been really trying to make Oregon the Pac-12. It's supposed to be USC, and we're seeing that with Caleb Williams. They now have an identity. The only team that can get away with their coach being the identity is Alabama, and you're seeing the ripple effect already. Oklahoma just lost their highest ranking commit. DeAndre Moore just pulled out.
Those names.
He could potentially be entering the transfer portal and joining his teammate Malachi Lemon and USC. That's exactly what they were hoping for. Moth to the flame.
George, a lot of people who look at USC as a sleeping giant because of that market, are they going to be a giant next year in college football?
Not next year, Frank. They've got the quarterback in place in Caleb Williams. Look, I did a bunch of USC games. I did a Caleb Williams game last year, and the kid is the truth, and I think he's going to help those guys on offense, particularly not just with what he's capable of doing on the field, but teaching those guys the system with Lincoln Riley. But when you look at that roster, there's still a lot of holes on this roster. This isn't the roster that Lane Kiffin or Steve Sarkisian took over, even Clay Helton took over when the previous coaches left. This roster needs some help.
All right, back to the NFL. Josh McDaniels hired Sunday, introduced yesterday in Vegas. He admitted he wasn't ready the last time he was a head coach, and he learned a lot from his problems in Denver. He also told Mark Davis that the tuck rule play was a fumble. You thought the last two-minute report was a joke. It's a little late for that. And then there's the bit about the Raider players campaigning for Rich Bisaccia so openly. All right, so George, what are you buying? What are you selling from McDaniels to the Raiders?
I'm buying that he can be self-aware and understand that he made mistakes and that he's learned from those mistakes. I'm selling the fact that he is trying to sell that you need to have loyalty and trust when he's literally reneging on the tuck rule for the team he used to coach for. I don't buy that for one second. I'm selling that big time.
Harry?
I'm buying that he won the press conference, and I think something else that I'm buying here is that this is a really great situation, specifically for him coming into this job as somebody who says that they've learned a lot. If you're going to try to win over that locker room who felt strongly about their interim head coach, having a quarterback like Derek Carr, who is a great leader, he might not be better than Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, but if you're going to come into a situation and try to place your own imprint on the job, he's the guy that you want there.
Izzy, he waited a long time to get a second chance. I wish a lot of other coaches can get a second chance. What about this hire?
Well, I'm buying the fact that you don't have it all figured out at age 32, which was his age when he got that Denver Broncos job. And so 45 years old still seems like a relatively young age for an NFL football coach. And I do think that I believe his mentor, Bill Belichick, first round, first time out in the NFL, didn't really work out that well either. So I do believe, you know, giving a guy a second chance after however long a time he needed, the longer probably the better, more to learn, and then, you know, eventually become a head coach.
Al, you're making a face. What do you think?
Well, it's not his second chance. It's his third chance. Because remember, he reneged not only on the tuck rule, but he also reneged on the Colts. Yeah. So it's his third chance. I'm buying that he's evolved.
His boss did that to
I'm
the Jets,
Broncos
too.
Fan. it was bad, right? Like, I'm buying that you can evolve in 10 years, but I'm selling that it's just as easy as, like, I've learned to communicate with people. Because at the end of the day, yes, it's a great situation for him with Derek Carr, and it helps Derek Carr as well. But there's a lot of pressure, because right now, with Zach Taylor being in the Super Bowl, the Sean McVay coaching tree is more successful than the Bill Belichick coaching tree. And Josh McDaniels is his star pupil. So let's see what you got.
George, you want it back in. What do you got? George? You said you want it back in. All right, I tried. Harry gets a point. Izzy gets a point. You're gone. Harry, I said come back in. He doesn't listen.
I couldn't hear you.
You weren't evolving like Elle told you. Ay, ay, ay. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Showdown time. Ja Morant's late game and one could have put last night's Sixers-Grizz game to bed, but a missed free throw meant overtime, which gave Philly extra life. Sixers 122-119 without Joel Embiid. Izzy, the Sixers were calling this a big one. How big was it on a late January night in Philadelphia?
Oh, it was pretty big, Frank. It was so big that Daryl Morey should consider making that trade for Ben Simmons for anybody because they got another star in Tyrese Maxey. 33 points, 8 assists, 4 blocks.
L?
It's really big if you're not a team who has been processing for like 10 years now and needs to get past the second round of the playoffs. I think it was a fantastic night for Tyrese Maxey, but it's also a reminder that Morey's got to do something and bring in a second playmaker for this team to be legit.
Point to Izzy. You mentioned Maxey first. Of course, he went first. This moment right here, Kevin Porter Jr. in the ear of a struggling Steph Curry. Not smart. After that, Houston, we have a big problem. 21 points in the fourth quarter. For Steph, L, a good lesson for Kevin Porter Jr., or do you think he woke up today with some regrets?
No, I mean, he actually said he learned some lessons from Steph. He went up to him afterwards and talked to him. He wanted to pick his brain because he's Steph Curry. Now, the Rockets don't care how good Steph Curry is down the stretch. It's the rest of the league that should be mad at him because they woke the sleeping giant. Yep.
Steph Curry was going to come out of this slump one way or the other. Kevin Porter just got a cool video of him staring down a goat. Like, there is nothing to that whatsoever.
we like that. L, take the point. Tied up. Cincinnati Public Schools are closing the Monday after the Super Bowl. Either going to be a really fun or a really sad day. Izzy, you okay with that move? And is it a possible jinx for Cincinnati?
I hate this move. Not only could it be considered a jinx, but what if the Bengals lose? All these kids are just going to be at home crying instead of learning some valuable lessons. It's a terrible decision.
The kids.
Terrible
choice.
You know what? I feel like Cincinnati's contribution to pop culture with Skyline Chili was an abomination. This is hopefully something that will stick. Make this a nationwide thing and give us all the day after the Super Bowl.
That's off. More people miss work the day after the Super Bowl than anybody. L, take the point. Take the 30-second FaceTime. We got ourselves a winner. L, yes.
All right. Today is February 1st, of course, the start of Black History Month. And the theme this year for Black History Month is Black mental health and wellness. Significant and important because despite the fact that we make up only 12% of the population, we are overrepresented in all of the categories that increase the risk for mental illness. Of course, you couple that with the stigmatization of mental health in Black communities and a distrust of the medical community. I'm just here to say that there is no shame in not being okay. And I keep saying this, but I will keep hammering upon this point. Only shame and not being well is suffering in silence. It's unnecessary. Get help.
Time well served, Al. That's going to do it for us. See you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.